The coronavirus outbreak may have slipped a bit from the headlines, but public health experts say it's still around and spreading across the U.S. We're going to take a closer look now at how virus hotspots have been shifting in recent weeks and some ways that we can assess our risk when it comes to things like eating at restaurants or summer travel. Dr. Jonathan Temte is with us. He's Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Temte, welcome back to the show.
Well, greetings and good afternoon to you, Rob. And all I can say is we're living in monumental times.
There's a lot going on to keep track of. Well, I want to start here in Wisconsin. Some new numbers came out, the daily numbers from the state. It looks like that key indicator a lot of people are watching for, the percentage of positive tests, continues to go down in Wisconsin. So at least at some level, some good news there here in the state.
Yeah, that's good news for two things. One, it implies that we are ramping up the amount of testing we're doing, which is really necessary to have a good sense for how much of this virus is out there.
And then some news that was out there that I think has a lot of people confused right now, a statement in a press conference from a World Health Organization, one of their experts there saying this case of this idea of asymptomatic transmission, somebody who gets the virus, never shows symptoms. They say transmission of the disease in that case, rare. They've walked that back a little bit. Can you sort that out for us?
It is very confusing. But keep in mind that if we look at anybody out there, two-thirds of us over the course of a month will have some symptom of something. We all have, from time to time, runny noses, a sore throat, a headache, fatigue, and so on. And all these symptoms are part of possible coronavirus infection. And so there really isn't anything that we can totally hang our hat on and say, aha, we have the symptom complex that means to have this. What gets confusing is we know that individuals, when they are infected with SARS-CoV-2, will start shedding the virus before they get symptoms. They can then have symptoms, and the symptoms can go from very minimal symptoms, such as a runny nose or sore throat, all the way up to needing to be in the intensive care unit and worse. And so it's really, really hard to sort all of this out. Suffice to say that almost everybody who comes down with this for a period of time before they have symptoms can spread. And so it really depends on what definition we're using. But the bottom line is, to be safe, we have to maintain the distancing. We have to be vigilant about using the face masks while in public until we have a better control of this virus.
We've seen new hotspots apparently emerging. You know, good news like Wisconsin, I mentioned that percentage going down. I think we had a day with no deaths attributed to coronavirus recently. New York City, numbers going way down. But then we're seeing record numbers of hospitalizations in places like Texas. So what do you make of the shift in focus for where the disease seems to be on the rise versus where it's falling?
Well, if you take a look across the country, and I looked at the patterns for each state a little bit earlier this afternoon, and you can kind of divide it into three groups. One that had a really big peak early on and dropped off, and these are primarily in the northwest or northeast part, kind of the New York, New Jersey avenue. You have states like Wisconsin that had a steady increase. We kind of peaked out. We came back on down. And unfortunately, we have somewhere around 20, 22 states that look like they are accelerating up right now. But with any virus, these get spread differently. They end up in different locations at different times. There are different behaviors, different interactions, and so on. And at the end of the day, you end up with a patchwork of different epidemics and different epidemic curves. Suffice to say that across the entire United States, we saw a big wave come up, drop down, and unfortunately, we're starting to rise again a little bit.
We're talking to Dr. Jonathan Temte from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at the latest on COVID-19 and how we can stay safe. If you have a question, call in quick at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you have a question about what we know at this point about the virus and what we can do to stay safe. You mentioned the masks, Dr. Temte. when do we want to have that mask on in general?
Well, I think we want to have that mask on any time that we can't maintain a distance from other people of basically about 6 feet. I'm just recently looked at a new very well done study published in The Lancet that talks about all the different things that we do. And they're able to show that the physical distancing really does make a huge difference. They're able to show that the use of face masks independently of the distancing makes a difference. And in particular, that face mask is very important when you're in closer contact. Finally, they looked at eye protection, and in fact, that was beneficial as well. So the long and short of it is, if you can maintain that distance from other people, do so. If you can't, you know, for short periods of time, make sure you have a face covering of some sort. It can be a surgical mask. It can be a cloth face covering. But those are shown to be effective in prevention of transmission.
How do we measure how big an impact doing things like reopening stores or reopening restaurants will have, or as we've seen over the last week, large-scale protests with people mostly outside but in close proximity? How do we measure whether events like those change the curve, add more cases?
It gets really complicated because we have so many different things going at the same time. So, for example, we are now entering into warmer and more humid days. I'm sitting in my office with the air conditioner off, and I'm feeling the heat build on up here. But between that and the relaxation of all sorts of things at the same time, so the stay-at-home orders, the opening of business, we have a lot going on at the same time. Typically, what we do is look over the period of 7 to 14 days after a large event and look for, is there a change in the curve? Unfortunately, what we have in a population is a lot of mixing going on. And the more we mix, the more it kind of blurs and blunts that effect. But so, for example, right now, with the amount of close contact with protests going on, one would be looking in the next week to 2 weeks to look for any change in that curve shape.
There's been some reporting that some recent surges have been in rural areas, in particular around the country. Why might that be?
Well, again, people are mobile, and the viruses that you have keep with you for basically somewhere around 3 weeks that you're possible or possibly infecting another person. So as we relax more, we travel more, we put on more miles on the car, get out to the rural areas, to parks and so on, the potential that we encounter people that we don't live close by to increases quite dramatically. And it just takes one infected person coming into a new community to trigger off another round of infection. And so it really gets down to the amount of social mixing we have.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Julie is with us in Oshkosh. Julie, hi.
Hi. So my question has to do with ventilation systems, because I teach at a university, and as we're considering going back to face-to-face interactions with our students, which would be really good in a lot of ways, even if most of us are wearing masks, can the virus be spread through the ventilation systems? You know, so even if I'm distant from my students.
Julie, thanks for the call. And a lot of office workers and others wondering that same question, Dr. Temte.
Yeah, that's a great question. And in fact, what we know is that good ventilation, and particularly with air movement that will carry things away from people, is a good thing. We also know that the risk of infection indoors might be as high as 18 or 19 times more than outdoors. So, and if you think when you're out in the open, you're subjected to the breeze, moving air along, and that really can help reduce the risk of becoming infected. We also know from old studies, one of my favorite of a airliner parked up on the runway in Alaska for 3 hours. There was one person on that plane with influenza, and within 3 days, 72% of the passengers had influenza. Following cases like that, the airline industry totally changed the ventilation system in planes. And so moving from a closed space to an open space, so that ventilation system really has to move air through and not air around.
Thanks a lot for that call, Julie. Appreciate it. What kind of activities, Dr. Tempty, do you think people might want to avoid, or events or whatever, at least over the next couple of few months?
Well, I think first and foremost, the big no is large crowds inside a building where you're closely packed in a shared airspace. Being outdoors is probably the best thing, and fortunately, we're in that nice 3 to 4 month segment during our Wisconsin year, where being outdoors is much more enjoyable.
Time for one more quick caller. Melanie is with us in La Crosse. Melanie, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Dr. Tempty, this is my question. I am a concerned grandmother. And so this is in regards to, I've had to say, ask my daughter to not have my grandson, whom I cherish greatly, not to be coming over to my home. I mean, how do you have this conversation? The reason why is that there is a change in his Monday through Thursday childcare, and he is now going to a large type of gathering.
Gotcha, Melody. We just have a minute left, Dr. Tempty. Do you want to tackle that? Kid goes to a childcare setting, a larger group. Should they go visit grandma?
Yeah, well, we know that from daycare in general, that respiratory viruses such as the SARS virus can spread child to child. And so you're always at risk not only to your grandchild, but to the sphere of other children that child's around. So I think just expressing gently to your daughter about your concern about what happens if you become ill and your desire to have many years ahead to cherish with your grandson is probably the most important message.
Thanks for that call. And Dr. Tempty, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for joining us today.
And thank you, Rob. Always a pleasure. Take care now.
Dr. Jonathan Tempty is Associate Dean for Public Health and Community Engagement at UW's School of Medicine and Public Health. He's with us today to talk about where we're at in the coronavirus outbreak and how we can assess our own risks.